get started. All right. Good evening, everyone. It's good to be back tonight. Going to go to our prayer requests as we normally do on Wednesday nights. And again, if you do have a prayer request you'd like for us to pray with you about, you can email us, and I'll give you an email number or email address. I've been forgetting to do this, but you can email us at onlykjv4us@gmail.com. And if you send us an email and you want us to pray for something for you or your family or somebody, we'll be more glad to do that. If you don't want us to share it, we won't share it. If you don't care for us to share it on our prayer request list, we will put it on our prayer request list, and we will post it on our prayer chain. We'll do our best to help pray for each one. So tonight we want to continue to remember Sister Donna Faye and Brother Charlie in your prayers. Sister Donna Faye has her scan, and so tomorrow, so do remember that. Also continue to remember Brother George Lynn in your prayers. Keith Noblin in your prayers, to lift him up. Turn this down just a touch here. Continue to remember Jason's caregiver's nephew, Caden, in your prayer, to lift him up. And remember that, Brother Max and his family, Linda Gilbert, Deborah Bailey, and Serena. Also, for those of you who don't know or did know that Sister Tanya had been in the hospital, she's out and doing better there. They've got her on meds, so we praise the Lord for her answered prayer there as well. Do continue to remember Brother Daniel in your prayers, Barbara Taylor, the Sister Rhonda's aunt. Remember Evan and Sister Rose in your prayers. Brother Bill and Sister Joanne, find them in your prayers. Sister Virginia Moody, Pedro Castro, Slade, Bill McAfee, Ann Grimes, Darren and Jason, Antonio Castillo. And then remember all of our men and women in service, and remember our country and leaders. Also remember those that are lost. Definitely day and hour we're living in. Time is shortening up, so we need to make sure we pray for our lost folks, backslidden folks, to lift them up, that God would speak to their hearts. Remember Sister Frankie and Sister Mary Jane, Sister Faye, Sister Tawana, and then Brother Junior and Sister Ruby, to lift them up in prayer as well. Also, continue, we sent out a prayer request just a little bit ago for Lonnie London, asking you to remember him, the Sister Barbara's son-in-law. And so ask that you would remember him in prayers as well tonight. Continue to remember one another as we get ready for Resurrection Sunday. Hopefully, we pray that God would send some folks and visitors our way. But let's remember to pray for them. Father, tonight we thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you, dear God, for the blessings you give us. Lord, what an opportunity we have to be able to come and speak for you, dear God, and speak of you. Lord, we know tonight, Father, that through thy word, dear God, that we give get strength and guidance, dear God. And for that we praise you, Lord. Father, I ask you to meet the needs tonight according to your plan, to your purpose, dear God. And Father, we pray that we would accept that. Lord, we pray tonight that you just touch each heart and each home, dear God. Father, that you'd reach down and move and stir the lives of those that are lost, that are backslidden, dear God. Father, we ask you tonight that you'd help us, Lord, as Christians to grow closer, dear God, to grow stronger, dear Lord, to be more steadfast, precious God. And Father, we pray, Lord, help us to glean from Thy Word, Lord, the things that we need to be better servants for Thee. Lord, tonight we just want to say again, we love You and we thank You, dear God. Just have Your way. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. Amen. Want to go through a bunch of verses in Scripture tonight. And when I say a bunch, I've got them saved to my screenshots there because there's just too many for me to continue to go and try to mark. And I'll be honest with you, I'm lazy. I don't like taking the time to try to write everything down on a piece of paper so that I have it there, but I do screenshot these things. But I want to go to the book of Exodus in chapter 3. Moses is at the burning bush. When we find that he is here at the burning bush, God is speaking to him. And as we know the story here a lot of times about, you know, the burning bush and Moses approaching it. and here is where God is telling Moses that he's going to send him to deliver the children of Israel out of the bondage of Pharaoh. Let's read this. The statement that God makes to Moses caught my attention in a way because the other evening I was thinking about, you know, phrases in the Bible, things that we look at and how we think about them. How many times are there? And I love Bible numbers. I wished I was smarter at them than what I am. But I can say this tonight. When you find something in the Scripture one time or two times or three times, whatever it is that you're looking there and you find, there's certain numbers that really calculate special meaning through the Scripture. If you find something one time, then, you know, it can be anything. But when you find something one time in what I would think this verse that I'm going to share with us tonight, a declaration, it sometimes you look deep into that, then you look at that and you go, wow, how can that be? Now, that's just me. When I'm thinking about things and I'm looking at the numbers and I'm looking at words and phrases and things that are found in the Scripture. And so tonight, that's what brings us here. And so God is speaking to Moses, and we're going to start here in verse 11. And it said, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Now think about this very carefully. God chose Moses. Moses is not trying to, I guess you could say God is wrong in this, but he's saying, who am I? You know, I'm nobody special. I'm a caretaker of the flock. I'm feeding my father-in-law's flock. I'm just, you know, who am I? And here it is. A lot of times folks would say, well, who am I so special? Well, you're special simply because God loves you. That makes you special. You're special. I'm special. Matter of fact, everybody in the world is special in the eyes of God, if we could just recognize that. But Moses is, you know, we know the story. He tries to get out of this. But he says, who am I? And he said, certainly, I will be with thee, talking God to Moses now, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, the God of your father has sent me, and they say unto me, what is thy name? What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. I don't know if you catch what I catch in this verse, but one of the things I've caught in this verse was the word I am. And both times, if you look at I am capitalized, right? And when you stop to see who is I am, that's God. God is I am. We say, who's the great I am? God is. And in this one verse, it says, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall I say unto the children, I am hath sent me unto you. And I had to pause, I had to stop, I had to look at it, and I thought to myself, wow. Three times this declaration is in one verse. I am, right? Well, we know this, that if we go over into the book of John, 1 John in chapter 5, and I love to quote this verse, but I'll flip over tonight to read it to you. It says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now think about it. Three declarations of the word I am is found in one verse. When Moses says to God, whom shall I say sent me? He says, I am that I am. And that's who you're going to tell the children of Israel, that the I am, that I am has sent me unto you. Three in one. We know that God alone is the I am. The declaration of it being found three times in one verse, in the only verse that is found throughout the whole scripture, this verse. And matter of fact, I looked up, and I did in case sensitive, those two words, I am, capital I, capital A, capital M. When I did that, it popped up only one time. And of course, if you know me or been around me and stuff like this, the first thing I did is I come running into the kitchen. Lynetta had been cooking dinner, and I said, you ain't going to believe this. And I said, guess what I found? And I had to share it with her because this excited me. Three in one, right? Three in one. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. Who did God tell Moses that sent him? I am, I am, I am. And so in that, we found that the I am is God, of course. And again, and I don't mean to beat this over and over again, but how awesome that was to find it declared in one verse of scripture. So I decided, okay, I'm going to look further. I want to know what some of the things that we find in scripture are, and what are they that causes us to stop and ponder and look at this. And so in the book of Genesis in chapter 17, let's look at this phrase for just a moment. Let me flip over here. This starts off the covenant of circumcision. And it says, and when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, he was 99, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Now, you say, Brother Ernie, how's that? He just said, I am the Almighty God. Folks, it's only found one time in Scripture. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, he is the Almighty God. And then he says, walk before me and be thou perfect. He's telling Abraham to walk before him. Just think about this for a second here. Who are we supposed to walk before? There's only one God, right? There's only one true God. There's only one God. And we've already discovered, and we know this, and we talked about it. He is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, right? God the Father. So he's the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Amazing thing to think about this. And I don't know if I have this one in here. I thought I did. Let me see if I can find this. Because I don't want to go I'll run away from myself if I'm not careful here. So let me just look this up. Because I'm pretty sure I have this somewhere in my notes to get to in just a minute, but it just came to my mind here. Now, maybe thinking about when I read the other Isaiah chapter 9. Listen to verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, I know it doesn't say Almighty, but what is he? The Mighty. So in chapter 17, verse 1, he declares to Abram, he says, I am the Almighty God. And in chapter 9 here of Isaiah, he is called the Mighty God. Now, who do we know this to be? This is Jesus Christ. Remember, in 1 John chapter, in John, 1 John 5, 7, he's declared the Word. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amazing when you look at all these scriptures, how that you keep coming back to this phrase here. So while Jesus never said, I am the I am, he did say in different places, I am. And when he did that, he declared who he was. And so that's another thing that I thought about these things, right? Think about Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. And we'll flip over there to read it. And I've got my next verse of scripture up here already. In the Beatitudes, and I love this verse, and believe me, I think that if we as Christians followed this verse more, spent more time looking at what this verse means in our lives, we would be stronger Christians. We would be better, right? So it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Keep that in mind and think about what Jesus says in John chapter 6. If you want to flip over there, there's two verses to read here. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, right? So John chapter 6, and we will start here reading there's a lot, if you start in verse 22, but for time's sake, because we don't want to use too much time without getting further in this. He said in verse 31, our fathers did eat manna in desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. That's God gave them manna, right? And then verse 32, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and hath given life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Think about that for just a second, what he declared himself as. He said, I am the bread of life. When you start running these words together and you start focusing these things on the relation as to the correlation, I guess, with using the words I am in the small case, as far as the I being capitalized and am being the small a, and attach these to these phrases, he is the bread of life. And you keep reading, but I say unto you that ye shall, that ye also have seen me and believe not. All the Father hath given me shall come unto me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I am came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now, when you stop to think about it, there are three that bear record in heaven. I am that I am, and the I am is who Moses said. There are three in heaven, right? There was three I ams in heaven. you have to jump down a little further there. And it said, then the Jews murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. But he is, right? He is the bread. And the thing of it is when you take the word away there that the Jews had repeated, it's who's the bread of life? Jesus is. That's only declared one time in Scripture by Christ. I am the bread of life. When the Jews get mad, they murmured at him for saying it. That's not him saying it. So it's declared one time. There's nobody else in Scripture who can declare that they are the bread of life. And Jesus himself declares that he is the bread of life. And so I just, like I said, I looked at that and I thought to myself, wow, we're going to attach the I am there. And Jesus is the I am. He is the bread of life. And he's the only bread of life. And remember what he said? Whosoever partook of him, they would neither hunger nor thirst again. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Who is our righteousness? Jesus Christ is our righteousness. I mean, so when we look at that, when we think about it, what a declaration, right? He is the bread of life. Then you can jump over to John chapter 10. this is not found one time, but it's declared in the same manner in the two times that it is written here. So John chapter 10, in we'll start in verse 1. I'm going to read down through... I'll just read through verse 9, but there, the rest of it ties in. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now remember that. To him the potter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Or to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. Now I'm going to stop right here and say something. This is not part of the message tonight in this aspect, but this is. We need to do a better job at listening to what voice we're listening to, right? The Bible says, try the spirits, know them whether they're of God or they're not. In this too, I know that there are things that I've been praying about lately, and I've shared, you know, different times that I've prayed, and I prayed about something that I wanted, I wanted to purchase, and it was a particular one, and I had no confusion. I said, God, should I purchase this? And God said no, and that was the end of it. There's a job opening that may come up in the future, and I've been praying about it, thinking, you know, should I take that? And each time that I've prayed about that, I mean, just as clear as a bell, God has said to me no. And so I'm listening to that voice, right? Because the flesh side says, oh, wait a second, you can do that, or wait a second, that would be great, you know. But we need to listen to the voice of God. Remember, God will not lead us wrong. God will not steer us wrong. When we read the Word of God, your King James Bible, by the way, you read that, it will not steer you wrong. And so that's what he's saying here. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what thing that he was... they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now look at that very carefully. There's those words again, right? I am. But he said, I am the door of the sheep. And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man will enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now think about that. He declared it twice, but he declared the same thing twice. So it's still just once, right? He is the door. So what do? We go through the door, which is Jesus Christ. I am the door. Now think about the scripture that says, straight is the way, narrow is the gate that leadeth unto life eternal. And few there be that enter in. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto this destruction, and many there be that go in. And so whenever you stop to think about, you know, broad, what is broad? It's just, there's no security in broad. There's no definition of broad. But in that narrow way, there's security. I would say this, you're not getting in, but what you're let in. And so he says, I am the door. If you just stop to think about what he's saying to us, there's only one way of salvation, right? There's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved, and that name is Jesus. So he is the door. He is, well, and we'll probably get to that in a minute, but he is the only way, and there's no other way to get there outside of him. The next word I looked at was, and we read this, you know, think about how many times in Scripture is the words, I'm the first, right? Found in Scripture. We think about in Revelations where he says, I am the first and the last, and stuff. But it's really an awesome thing to think about. In Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6, he said, thus saith the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Now just think about this. And beside me there is no God. He is the first, he is the last. And it's amazing in the thought there. He says, I am the first, and I am the last. Beside me there is no God. Then in chapter 48, verse 12, hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he, I am the first, I am the first, I also am the last. If he's first, there's no reason to go anywhere else. And if he's first in our lives, we're not going to go anywhere else. And when we stop to think about the declaration of God, who was before God? Nobody. What was before God? Nothing. Why? Because God has always been. And then we go into Revelation 17, or 1:17. He says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead and laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Now, let me flip over here because there is more to be said in that, and I don't want to get it wrong. But look at what he says. He says, excuse me, I am the first. When he saw me, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. I just think about I am the first and last, right? And then verse 18, I am he that liveth, was dead, and behold, I am alive evermore. Three times in one verse, declarations are made. I am he that liveth. I am he that was dead. I am he that is alive evermore. You just cannot go through Scripture and find these things by and say, well, that was an accident. It was coincident. It's not. It's not coincident. It's absolute in that. Now think about this for just a second. I love biblical numbers. Number 18, 3 times 6. 3, the number of death or the number of life, because that Jesus Christ died, right? But on the third day, he rose again. He's alive. The number 6 is the number for man. In that verse of Scripture there, we find our hope is written there because he says he is he that liveth and was dead and is alive forevermore. Why do we celebrate Resurrection Sunday? Because Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for our sins. He gave his life for you and me. He rose again the third day. I'm here to tell you tonight, and I know this, if you've been around me for the last 14 years, which most of the folks at my church have, I say it all the time. If he had died only and not rose again, we would not be celebrating this. If he never died, we would not be celebrating this. If he was never born, and then we would not be celebrating. So he had to be born, right? He had to live a sinless life. He had to die, but he had to rise again. And in that, we find that our hope and our faith in Jesus Christ, because he is the I Am. He is the one who done these things. He is, for you and I, the bread of life. He is the one, by the way, when we read the rest of the verse there, right? And have the keys of hell and of death. There's only one set, and he's got them. He's the one who's in control of that. I mean, you cannot get any better than these things, than this. When we stop to consider all that the Word of God has for us to be said, and so I just keep looking through. It's just the way that I am. I hate to say that. It's the way that I am set up. I mean, I just want to keep going on, and so I kept looking. Right? How about this? The word "I am the God." Okay. Amazingly, things that found. It's found six times in Scripture. Who is he God for? You and me. He's God for man. Right? Two times three. Two, the number of unity or witness even, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So two times three is six, by the mouth of what? Two or three. So when we look at that, by the mouth of two witnesses, here's an amazing thing. This is found three times in the Old Testament, three times in the New Testament. You cannot, again, make this stuff up. This is amazing how it comes through there. I love it. If you can't tell I get excited about this, then I don't know what else to do. I'm sitting at the table. If I was standing at church, I would probably raise my voice a little louder. I might even pound on my pulpit and do a jump. It's just these things excite me. And so I'll read these to you. Genesis 26:24. And the Lord appeared unto him in the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. He is the Lord God, right? He is. And he said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Isn't it an amazing thing to think about? And if we jump over here to the book of Luke, if I can find this right off the top of my head here. Luke chapter 16. Look at this. Lazarus and the rich man. So it started in verse 19. And you jump down there in verse 22. And it says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Why was it so important for God to say that I am the God of Abraham, my father? When you look at the New Testament, the Pharisees would declare their righteousness by being of the seed of Abraham, the lineage of Abraham. They came from Isaac, and Isaac was the promised child of God to Abraham and Sarah. And so when God declares this, he declares his covenant with Abraham. He said, in thy seed, all nations shall be blessed. Why? Because every one of us have an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because of Abraham's faithfulness. Now, was Abraham perfect? No, he wasn't. Is any man perfect? None save Jesus Christ. And so when we read this, we think about it, right? He said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. In the Old Testament, this was a declaration of who God is. The value, the principle, the covenant, the relationship in the New Testament is the same thing there in the New Testament. Genesis 31:13, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out of this land, from this land, and return into the land of thy kindred. Now look at that. He is the God of Bethel. And look at the key there. Where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me. I'm going to tell you something. You can make a vow to any tree, to any rock, to any idol, any wood thing, any stone thing, any whatever, and it don't care. But when you vow a vow to God, God cares, and God will remind you and I of that. So he's reminding. He says, moreover said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Again, that was in Exodus 3, where we started off tonight. God calling Moses to go and lead the children of Israel out of bondage, out of Egypt. And he's declaring to Moses who he is, right? He said, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Again, God gave Abraham Isaac. So we got Abraham started with Isaac, the promise. Who was Isaac's gift given to? Who received the blessing? Jacob. What did God say about Jacob and Esau? And the younger, or the older shall serve the younger. And that's why when we talk about it, he's the God of Jacob. He's the one who received the blessing. That's how God ordained it. Matthew 22:32, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but God of the living. Now remember, Jesus was talking to him. They come and they ask him the question. He said, a man had a wife and he died, and his brother married her and he died, and his brother married her and he died, and finally all the brothers had her. None of them ever leaving children. They died. So in heaven, in resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? And he says, have you not heard? Have you not read? He says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He's like, don't you even recall who we're talking about here in this? He said, God is not the God of the dead, but God of the living. So in heaven, there's neither marrying nor giving in marriage. There's not going to be any worrying about this. There's not going to be any bickering over this. When you get to heaven, I hear people say all the time, when we get to heaven, I'm going to ask God this. When we get to heaven, we're going to ask somebody that. And there's no questions in heaven. And I know that in our minds, it's hard to comprehend that. But just think about this. When we get to heaven, we're going to be with the living God. We're going to be with the God we've been waiting to see all of our lives. The God in whom today that we cannot look upon the face of and live. But yet one day, the Bible says, then face to face. Why? Because he's the God of the living. And when we get to heaven, we're going to be living. Think about it this way. The Bible calls hell the second death. Those in hell are alive, but they're dead. They're separated from God. And I know that that's not right here, but hey, it doesn't matter. Anyways, and then Acts chapter 7, verse 32, and it says, and saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. He is the God, right? And so like I said, an amazing thing here, I am God, is only found 6 times in Scripture, 3 times in the Old Testament, 3 times in the New Testament. And so there's 2 witnesses right there that tell us this. It's the declaration of who God is. And so we praise him for that. John chapter 10, we go back over there. And I knew there was a reason why I stopped in verse 9 there. The declaration in John chapter 10, the first part there was, he was this. He said, I am the door in verse 7. I am the door of the sheep in verse 9. I am the door. He's declaring he is the door. Then we'll read some more here through this. He said in verse 10, he said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Now look, I am the good shepherd. Who's he declaring that he is? He's the good shepherd. So he is the door. Now he says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is not, because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. Now think about this. He's not saying there's two of them. He's saying, I am the good shepherd. He reminds them twice. First he says, I am the good shepherd. Then he says, I am the good shepherd. How do you know I'm the good shepherd? He says, because the hireling fleeth, but the good shepherd stayeth. The hireling runs when danger's around, when the wolf is coming. But the good shepherd, he giveth his life for the sheep. So even though we see it declared twice, it's the same phrase, right? So he is what? He's the bread. He's he's the door. He's the good shepherd. If we just look through these things again and find them. I know I used these scriptures just a minute ago, so I won't go back through there very much. But look at Isaiah 44, verse 6 again. He says, thus shall the Lord King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. All right. Now, in the other places there, when he says, I am the first, he says, I am he, I am the first, comma, I also am the last. And then in Revelations, he says, I am the first and the last. But only one time did he say, I am the first and I am the last. So you can take it to the bank right there. He is the beginning and the end, right? He is everything in between. He is the only one. In John chapter 8, verse 12, we're looking at the words, I am the light. And it says, then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then in John chapter 9, verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Again, this declaration, who is the light of the world? He is. I mean, if you just stop and think about it, go over to the book of Revelations here. Chapter 22, verse 5, and there shall be no more night there, talking about. Let me just roll back. I'll finish with this one tonight. I've got more, but I'll finish with this one tonight. He said, and he showed me a pure river of water, chapter 22, verse 1, water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, the tree of life. Anybody wondered what happened to the tree of life in the Garden of Eden? There you go. Transplanted, right? Which bare 12 manners of fruit and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves and of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. Remember a while ago I said, no man shall look upon his face and live? Well, right there again it says, and they shall see his face. And his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. The Lord God giveth them light. Who is that light? We know this light is Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. in this declaration. I am the light of the world. Like I said, I've got several more in this. And again, I'll give you this one here, just John chapter 6, verse 51. I am the living bread. Remember, we read it a while ago. He is the bread of life, right? He is the bread of life. Well, he's not just the bread of life, but he is the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, and I will give for the life, which I will give for the life of the world. That's a good place to stop, because the next one covers a bunch of scriptures and declaration of the theme there. But I am the bread, or the living bread. He's not just the bread, but he is the living bread. Folks, you can't get any better than this. And I was thinking about a scripture tonight and stuff before we started. I'll be honest with you, if you spend more time in the Word of God, you'll be happier, you'll be more excited, you'll be more propelled to service, to love, to worship, to honor and glorify God. You'll be more desirous of being in the house of God with folks if you can be, but if not, you'll be desirous to spend time in the Word of God, and then however you can get in the fellowship of the Word, you'll seek those things out. You'll be willing participants, and that's what I want to be. I guess you might say here for the last several weeks I've had a new theme in my life, and it's not nothing that I shouldn't have already had, but it's something that I'm striving to do, and that is just to make sure that I take time. To make sure that I worship and glorify God. Don't let other things settle me down. Don't let other things sidetrack me. Because you know what? The Bible's true. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And the more that we focus on worship, the more that we focus on praise, the more that we focus on service, the happier we are. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes we let so much of the world in, it's a wonder there's any room for God. So let's let God in, push the world out, and we will have less problems, I'll guarantee you. And we'll have greater strength and greater ability to get through the things that will come our way. We'll go to the Lord in prayer tonight, and then we'll dismiss. Father, tonight we thank you so very much for all your word, dear God, and what it means to us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the ability to read it. What a joy it is to read it, dear God. And how often we ought to sit down and just read your word and enjoy the fruits of it. Dear God, I praise you tonight for what it means to us, what it says to us. And there's just no way to get around, dear God, the significance and importance of your word in our lives. And so tonight we thank you for that. We ask you, Lord, that you just touch, dear God, those around about us, Lord. Father, help us to be a light to a darkened world. Father, help us to worship you and honor you and serve you. Now, Lord, tonight we just pray, dear God, touch needs according to your will, according to your plan, according to your purpose, and help us, dear God, to accept that. And we do give you praise for it all, Father, tonight, in the blessed name of Christ Jesus. We thank you and we love you, Lord. And amen. Amen. Don't forget to share, if you would, with folks where they can find us at. Again, let me give you our email one more time, just in case you didn't catch it. OnlyKJV, the number 4, us at gmail.com. Please feel free to drop us a line through there. Tell us where you're from. Things maybe we could help you out with, maybe studying the scriptures or prayer or whatever, or just to stop by and drop us a line that says hi. God bless you. We love you. We'll be praying for you. See you next time, Lord willing.